Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and at this time it is my distinct pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hello, Terry. Good to be here on a Tuesday evening. I'll tell you, though, I had a friend invite me to a event in Columbus with Dr. David Jeremiah, and I was trying to figure out... I realized, we had the station tonight, but I really wanted to go to that. And then after the day I had, there's no way I was going to go down to Columbus and be there until late in the evening.
Right.
Just a real long day, and we have those sometimes.
Sure.
Hey, everybody, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am the host of The Pastor Spot. It's a weekly radio program here at WWGH 107.1. What made me do that? Anyway, I'm the pastor of Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street, and we would love to have you come sometime. We'll give you some more information at the end of the show, but it's been a busy week. Do you remember what Sunday was, Terry?
Turn my mic back on. Sorry. Sunday was your annual fall festival, I believe.
It was our annual fall festival, and it went extremely well.
Photos look tremendous that I've seen.
Yeah,
food it looked like and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah, we had, I think it was Scott Snyder did, had 20 pork loins that we had smoked.
Man.
And that was just great. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had coleslaw
like
and baked beans.
Had a great time
and,
on the hayride and stuff.
Oh, they always do.
Yeah,
you know,
that
they always,
fun. Yeah.
And we had apple cider. Press cider, and my daughter had a cauldron of apple butter going.
That's what I was going. Okay, that's what that was. I was going to ask you what that was. It looked. I didn't know if it was chili or.
It was apple butter, and just it was really,
man.
Really, really good day.
Wait till
just
Scott
a wonderful
finds
day.
Out. He loves that stuff. He was wanting some apple, but oh my goodness!
See, he should have come.
I know
because actually they had when they got done, they sent everyone home with about a pint of it that wanted one or that asked. But anyway, no, it was a great week. We had, prayed for, the weather, and it stormed from about, I think, 1 to 2, and it started at 3, and it stayed dry and beautiful. It wasn't too hot. It was just perfect. The weather was perfect. It was a really, really good time. And it was a pretty good turnout, too,
awesome.
Real good turnout.
Yeah.
So good. I was real pleased with it. That's a real blessing, and I don't know if I was more pleased with that or the fact that we finally got a basement cleaned out at the church, which was the day before. The ladies came and cooked breakfast, and the men had men's breakfast, which we do the last Saturday of every month. And we went and cleaned out the basement and got rid of a bunch of stuff so I could see what was in front of us to do, and, kind of a neat time.
Good.
But anyway, great to be here. Great to be here. We're beautiful weather. Just gorgeous stuff.
Also, too, though, Pastor, before we get going, just let the people know, too, you're streaming this live. So if they want to, on Facebook, if they want
to. Yeah, we are streaming live on Facebook. So if you want to go to the Pastor Spot and watch this, we're streaming it live, which is really great. Gives you a chance to comment and put things in. If you don't feel like calling in, you can always do that there.
He does it pretty much every week.
I do it every week. I do it every week. And some people don't want to see it. They see it pop up, but they just click it off. I don't really, whatever. If you want to watch it, fine. If you don't, that's fine. Yeah. But I think we have some pretty interesting subjects on here. I know last week we were talking about a little bit about encouraging people and that type of thing. This week I want to talk about something that really impacts us more than I think just about anything else that we deal with in life. And it's the hardest thing to control. It's the easiest thing to get loose. And what do you think it is, Terry?
The hardest thing and the easiest to lose?
To get loose.
Oh, to get loose.
Not your dog.
No.
No. Not a wild bull that's in the pasture field.
But last night, it was an interception. No, just kidding. Browns game.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
No, it's your tongue.
Your tongue.
Oh, the tongue. Hardest thing to control there is. Easiest thing to get loose.
Yes.
And the bad thing about the tongue is once it comes out, it's out. You know, you can't retrieve things that come out. But you know, I was thinking, and we were kind of having a Bible study this morning and talking about, you know, the things that affect our lives and things going on in the world today. And then I got a message from someone later today that was talking about someone that I knew from years ago, and shed some light on some things that changed my whole perception of them if they were telling the truth. And I don't know. See, there's your problem. You know, this is a person I've admired my entire adult life, haven't seen him in years. And then this other person I haven't seen in years tells me some things that are just off the... First of all, why are you telling me?
Yeah.
And second of all, what am I supposed to do with it? So those are some of the things. The tongue can really cause some problems.
Well, that's what I was going to say. A man in your position, how do you decipher which one, you know, I mean?
Walk softly.
Okay.
Walk softly and trust a big God. You know, that's it. I mean, you know, what else can you do? And, you know, especially, you know, in a church situation, sometimes you'll have two members at odds with each other, and they both have a – that doesn't happen too much with us. We are a pretty you know, pretty open church. When I was a kid, our pastor, I remember one time there was some negative gossip going around in the church. And he said from the pulpit, he said, I know what's going on out there, and if it doesn't stop now, I will expose you from up here and tell everyone, and we'll iron it out right here. Ooh. Now, that's always stuck with me. And I've kind of thought about that, and I've kind of made that kind of a policy. You know, I pull the Barney Fife out and nip it in the bud. If that kind of stuff starts, you have to, because when the tongue gets loose, it can be like a cancer, and things can be said that can't be taken back. The tongue gets us in all types of trouble. If you think about it, you could be a great person inside, but all you got to do is say the wrong thing a few times and bang, you know, you can be, I mean, look at just in the sense of the world, some of the people that we know, public figures that have been destroyed by someone overheard them say something or had them taped or accused them of saying something, crying out loud. I sure hope that I never have a tape recorder following me around all the time. I think all of us at some point have probably said something that we wish we could take back. And we're pretty blessed that we weren't recorded in doing it. But could you imagine being defined by a slip of the tongue? I mean, think about that. I mean, you invest everything that you know is good. You try to into your life, especially in the case of being a Christian. You trust God, and you trust Him to build you up, to direct you, to guide your life. And then because one day, it could be in the heat of the moment. It could be when something's got on your last nerve. Maybe you're sick. You know, whatever the case, you know, maybe your mood's just gone, and you say something that you just can't retract, and it literally can bring people down, and we've seen it bring people down.
I was going to say, and even different, you know, the same thing, but just different scenarios. How many times does it cost people jobs and promotions and just things like that? Maybe you say something, you know, that in the past may have never been skewed as, you know, something, but now all of a sudden it's.
Well, in talking about the tongue tonight, you're right. That's a good point, really, because something that may not have been a big deal 20 years ago, 30 years later, suddenly is taboo, to even say. And I think we have to keep that in mind. But I think that one direction I want to go with this tonight is I want to encourage people and encourage young people especially. And if you're a parent or a guardian of someone, I want you to listen to this and pass this on to these younger people, because we have a lot of kids that are hurting themselves, that are becoming more of a recluse, doing all these things because of things somebody might have said. And I think that we need to encourage them to know who they are, to be comfortable in their own skin, In other words, it doesn't matter what you say to me. You know the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, that we left that one in the dust back in about 1980. Today, I mean, my word, you can't say anything. It's going to hurt somebody. But what I'm getting at is that, you know, if you have confidence in who you are, and with me, the only confidence that I have comes from trusting that I'm in God's hands and that He has control of my life. See, you can beat me up all day long, but you're not big enough to beat up God. And if He's in my corner, I'm fine. And if I have to answer to Him, that's just fine. That's who I want to answer to. But the truth is that because of that, I have a confidence that I don't really worry about what people are going to say about me. You know, people are going to say negative things about you, especially when you do positive things and when you do good things. And they will do that. You know, they'll... I don't know why people sometimes can be intent on destroying someone's reputation. Now, in my particular case, as a young person, I did enough to destroy my own reputation. I didn't need any help. But
for a lot of times, do you think it's because maybe they're looking for a financial gain? You know, sometimes, I mean, depending upon the person. I mean,
no, I think it's a four-letter word. And I think that four-letter word, it begins with an E and ends with an L, E-V-I-L. And this is what I mean by that, is that, you know, money can be a motive, which would be evil. Just the fact that you dislike someone can be a motive. The fact that you want to try to make yourself look better than that person can be a motive. The fact that you're just mean and not happy with yourself can be a motive and is often a motive.
So unhappy, you know.
So those things can all be motives. But... the thing is that when somebody is slandering you, usually there's something, they got an axe to grind with you about something. And I guess in a way it doesn't hurt to find out what that is or say, hey, are we okay? What's going on with this? And if you can settle it, settle it. You know, the Bible tells us it says, as much as possible, be at peace with all men. Now, you notice it says as much as possible. You're not always going to be at peace with all men. It ain't going to happen. Right. You know, those things are going to happen. But, you know, I look at so many, it rips my heart out to see what teenagers, the personal attacks they may hear or go through. And, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, you got two girls walking down the hallway, and they're both dressed, seem to be okay, and another two girls walks by, and one snickers and says, did you see her skirt, or did you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this girl, she feels like the whole world's looking at her, and what did I wear, and what did I do, you know, and the heart starts. I mean, this is serious stuff for these young people. Peer pressure can be a hard thing, and the tongue can really, really hurt. Or I remember one time a friend of mine asked a girl out in the hallway at school. Bad place to do that. Never ask a girl out when you're around a bunch of other people. And she turned around and she looked at him and said, what? With you? Heck no, I wouldn't go out with you. And I mean, he was ready to crawl under a rock. Could you imagine? And just those simple words that came out, heck no. You know, everyone was laughing. Everyone was telling the story. You couldn't believe what she said, you know. Actually, she didn't say heck. She said the one with the double toothpicks. But
well, I got to also say also, too, another bad place is never ask anybody out at work. I made that mistake.
Yeah.
Wow.
I do it all the time. My wife's the secretary.
I made, and you talk about feeling. I felt like that kid. I want to just go hide.
You want to go hide, right? Because then everybody knows about it. But you know, the tongue is something we really have to watch. And you know, I want to encourage people to be confident in who they are. Know that, you know, hey, look, if I'm doing everything to the best of my ability, who cares what somebody says? And not only that, what right or room does anyone have to run down another person? I mean, we all have problems. We all have things that we have to bear. I know a lot of times people feel funny. I was just talking about someone about this the other day, that people can be worried about people knowing problems that they're having or going through, because mm-hmm. they don't want to be judged. And I kind of chuckled because in our particular church, at Community Christian Fellowship, we and it's because we're Christians and we trust the Lord and His love comes through, but we're not a kind of people that are going to do that. I mean, it's going to be kind of like, look, we just want you to get squared away and everything be good. I don't care how you got there. Don't care what happened. We just want to help you get on the right road. And we want you to be, you know, it doesn't affect how we view them because, quite frankly, if we all could be honest with one another, there are embarrassing things in our life that we want to tell no one, right? Or things we've gone through or things that have happened, you don't want people to know. Mm-hmm. So why should you ever pass judgment on somebody that comes to you with a problem that says, you know, this is what's going on in my life and I need help? You know, we're there to minister help, you know, not to. What if you went to the doctor and you had lung cancer? And instead of the doctor treating you for the lung cancer and having compassion, all he did was rail on you for the 40 years that you smoked. Now, wouldn't that be ridiculous? So why would people think that that's what they're going to do in the church? You know, you don't do that. You help the people. And whatever the situation is, it's the see, Jesus came here to make people whole. And the church is supposed to be there to help people become whole through Christ. You don't do that by being judgmental. You don't do that by being derogatory towards people and where they've been. I remember one time there was a lady that many, many years ago, a friend of mine, he used to drive home from church every day, and he'd turn the corner, and this lady was always out working in front of her house with her girls. And one day he said, I want to stop here a minute. I bet she doesn't have a church. Pulled in the driveway, and he and his wife did, and he got out and says, hey, introduced himself and said, you know, I'd love to invite you to church. I pass you here every Sunday morning, and I just really felt I wanted to invite you to church. So she came, and after she came for a while, she became very involved, very active in the church. She loved it. She gave her life to Christ and was just really doing well. And one day, she was on a Sunday school class I taught, and she spoke up and said, we were talking about inviting people to church. And she said, you know, she said, I always wanted to go, but I was afraid to go. She said, I was a divorced mother with a single mom with kids. And she said, I just thought the church would look at me bad and wouldn't want me there. Isn't that sad? Mm. I mean, that people think that way. Mm. And I hope that's not the image the church is putting out there, that they don't want them. Because, you know, that's certainly not the case at all.
I had a friend of mine who attended a church, and she'd been going to this church for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. Well, all of a sudden, she took her grandkids. They absolutely loved it. Well, all of a sudden, the last week or so, now the people at church pull her off to the side and talk to her, and they tell her, you know, don't bring your kids back anymore, or your grandkids back anymore. Says, why? Said, we feel like you're using us as a free babysitting, even though the kids love the, I mean.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Well.
After all that time.
I would have to tell that lady that, the lady in the church that said that everybody uses the church as a free babysitter. Now, I don't mean that how it came out. Yeah. But what I mean is, so what? Well, I mean, the kids are there to learn and hear about Jesus. And, you know, if you want to drop your kids off for a couple hours so that you can go shopping, mm-hmm. we're glad to have them. You know, we do Team Kid. We'll be starting up this Tuesday.
That's why I thought of, because I thought about that program. You know, I thought, well, if everyone felt that way, I mean, I'm sure, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we tell parents, look, you know, if you need an hour and a half on a Tuesday night every other week to run to the stores, just spend some time with your spouse or whatever you want to do without the kids, drop them off, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I would say that most of the time, isn't that what even a nursery or is in a church? I mean, yeah. You're going to hear the message and whatnot, and they babysit your kids so that you can pay attention to what's being done. What's the big deal?
Yeah, well, this lady was they were devastated because, like I said, they went to this church, you know, and she said her grandkids just absolutely loved it. I mean, that's they looked forward to it every
that's really sad that happened. And tell your friend that I'm sorry to hear that.
It was in a different town. I'm not sure what town it was.
I would I'd flip out if somebody said that somewhere.
It was over near Mansfield somewhere.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But you know if. And there could be mitigating circumstances we don't know about, too.
Like I say,
we have to be careful.
Exactly.
With that.
I mean, and that's why I just said it as I seen it. I don't know what other circumstances.
Right.
Anything else, but you know, that was just what she.
But you know, the tongue can do so much damage.
Yeah.
Just in simple words that are said. You know, look at that stupid fat kid. Or, you know...
Well, I'm sure you as a pastor, I mean, I'm sure they, you know, you hear, you know, what I'm sure. I'm sure people always want to talk to you afterwards, and sometimes you can, those conversations can be, you know, can be, hey, did you see so-and-so over in that seat, you know, and I mean...
Well, I usually try to squelch that stuff pretty quick.
Yeah. But I know you try to take, you know, but sometimes I, you know, or they may even call you and say, "Hey, last week at your, you know," and you're.
Yeah, some stuff does need brought to the surface, but not in. It depends on how it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible tells you if you have aught with a brother or a problem, you go see him.
But do you think the situation's worse now, though, with social media now?
I mean, it's off the charts.
Because maybe now, of course, we don't really say anything, but we can actually, as soon as we get home maybe or something, we're, you know.
You want a well-balanced kid today, keep the phone away from him.
Yeah.
And now I'm serious. It's dangerous. Oh, my word. The amount of the stuff that can happen on social media. I remember a few years ago when a young lady was arguing with somebody and somebody wrote on there, "Why don't you just do everybody a favor and die?" And that just
possible thing you could.
Ripped her heart out. Now, was she being mean too? I think so. But the point is that even with that being said, you know, now not only did they say that to her, but there's probably about 100 other kids seeing it was being said and all laughing about it. Now they walk in to school the next day, and what do they walk into?
Sure.
Or, you know, people do it about co-workers. I have a cousin that was telling me that she looked at her phone on the way home and several of her co-workers were just bashing her about stuff, and they were making sure she could see it. I've got a particular relative, quite frankly, that I've had to block from social media because they use it for a whipping post. They use it to throw a snide remark here and there or you know, do that kind of thing. And I'm saying, I don't need this. No one needs it.
Sure.
You know, if this is how you're going to behave, then don't do it. But
I've had to talk to a friend of mine 3 or 4 times. I said, look, there's children that see this. Don't use that F, you know, or I mm-hmm. said, don't do it.
Well, that we need to have a little better.
You know, I mean, and he was using it in a context that it was the relevance of it was
no relevance.
For example, like he's a Browns fan, obviously, and they played bad, so he, you know, F this team, you know, and it was like, no, you don't need to. And I mean, it's sports for, you know, for.
Well, I, you know, people are, we've always had that with us, and you know, sometimes you just, I've honestly I've had to block people on social media because the language was just appalling, quite frankly, and it does not exactly show strong intelligence to have to do that all the time. If you can't think of a better word to use to describe something rather than using something vulgar or filthy, then, you know, go back to school.
I told him, I said, I don't mind if you criticize all you want, but do it in a different context rather than use maybe substitute the word maybe terrible or bad or, you know, or something
like that. That stinks work just fine.
Yeah, stinks. Yeah, so, you know, I said, because there's some families that everybody in the family has an account, you know, kids, mom, dad, you know, grandma.
I think that needs to, you know, I really think we're getting way overdone with electronic media and whatnot. Do we have a call?
Yeah. Let's see if we can grab it. Hello, caller. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes. You're on.
The program is on right now. Do they take calls?
Yes, you're on.
They do,
you're
ma'am.
Right
yes,
now.
We do.
Oh, okay. I wonder how the minister feels about using the word, oh, my God. And they're not using God's name like it should be used. But they're so, I hear it on radio all the time. I hear it on TV. I even hear it in my church. And I think it's become such a part of the language that they don't really realize they're taking God's name in vain.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, taking God's name in vain is just that. It's using God's name in a flippant way, in a way that's not honoring or holy to Him. And if you know, in saying, I'll give you the Facebook version of it, OMG, which means the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When people do that, they are being flippant with God and with
yes.
the name of God. And I would say that it's probably something it's easy to do and easy to pick up from hearing other people all the time.
I'll tell you what I did one time. I was watching this station that's on TV that Sal sings, and she was you know, selling whatever it was, a piece of clothing, and she said, "Oh my God," and that just really cut through me, I guess. So I called the number that was on TV to order, and this gentleman called and or answered, and I said to him, he says, "How can I help you?" And I said, "Well, I'm not wanting to buy anything." I said, "I have a concern." And he said, "Okay, what is it?" I said, "Well, one of your girls on your station is using the word, 'Oh my God.'" I said, "Do you listen to your station?" And then he says, "No," but he said, "I will check into that right away." And I have never heard her use that word since then.
Well, he did what he should have done. He did his due diligence as a boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that you did the right thing, too, in that you know, a lot of times people don't even catch themselves and realize what they're doing.
Oh, I know.
Until it's pointed out to them. I'm sure that lady, had she known that she was offending you,
mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have done that. However, what she really needed to understand was that she was offending God.
Yes.
Not just offending you, and
yeah.
and that's somewhere sometimes we need to point out. I think that we've forgotten a lot of times God's holiness, and that we have a holy God,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
we've so Americanized God.
That is so very, very true. But I mean, I hear it might. You know, I'll be talking to someone, and they'll use that, and I said, "Do you realize what you just said?" And you know, it's just part of their language anymore.
Just keep on correcting them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God bless you.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks for calling in.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You
bye-bye.
Too.
All right.
You know, on one hand, we talk about people being too touchy today, and being in a politically correct environment. But, you know, it's kind of funny, with all the political correctness out there, even with the news media, when I watch the news, people throw that word around like it's nothing. I mean, we're afraid of offending people groups, but no one seems to be afraid to offend God. How odd is that? Isn't that kind of odd when you think about it? It is with me.
And you know, that lady really put it into perspective. I guess I never really thought of it like that, but I mean, she's 100% right.
She is. I mean, you know.
And I never thought of it that way. Because I always thought, and I'm sure a lot of people will use the analogy that, well, it's better than saying.
Is it really?
But yeah, but now.
Is it really?
But now, you know, you shed some new light on it for me. Yeah. Now it's, you know, I mean.
When we were kids, we obviously weren't allowed to say bad words.
Right.
So we made up words that meant the same thing that we could yell at each other. Mom and Dad didn't know what they meant.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, we started getting punished for saying those words. They said, "You know what? It's the intent of what you're saying. I don't care if I know what you're saying or not. I know what you're doing," and we get in just as much trouble. And it's kind of that same thing sometimes. It's the intent. Of what's being said.
Oh,
but
okay.
But I think that, you know, it all comes back to, do we respect God,
yeah.
and do we not want to see with me?
Well, that now, like I say, will totally change my
your attitude towards
man,
that.
Oh man, I mean, that's an eye opening right there. I just
like never give it a thought.
Yeah,
huh?
Never.
I see myself. You know, I take that me personally. If I were to say that. I would catch it. I mean, I would immediately feel like, whoa, what did you do? And it's because I do know better, and I do respect God on the point that I wouldn't. But, you know, someone that I'm not saying there's never been a time in my life that I don't know. I never was real big on that anyway. I really get offended when people blatantly say GD and stuff. And that just to me, that is about as gutter as it gets.
Well, some people say it just to get a laugh, you know, or whatever. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's not really funny. I mean, it's just...
But yeah, you know, the tongue is just something that it can get us in a lot of trouble, Terry.
Yeah.
It can. It's ruined relationships. Sometimes, you know, you don't even mean for it to. You know, you can say something very simple to one person like, man, I really wish so-and-so would tame down their conversation, okay? And by the time it gets to that person, man, he was trashing you and saying you're a big mouth and a loud mouth and a foul mouth. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And you see, you got to be careful. It's best if you have something derogatory to say to probably go to people one-on-one. I always like a lot of people will say, I would never say anything to you that I wouldn't say to their face. You ever said that? I've said that too. Okay, then go do it. How's that one?
Yeah.
You know, okay, then go do it. And that's the whole point. I think that we can mend a lot of bridges if we don't. Here's the one I always like. You know, I'll talk to people and they'll find out that I'm in ministry and how long I've been. Oh, you're kidding me. I remember when you... Why? Why do you want to dredge up what I did when I was 17 or 18 years old or 19 or 20? You know what I mean? Haven't we all been places that we need to get better? You know, why do people feel the need to dredge that stuff up? But they do. And I'll be honest with you, I have people that I knew as a young person that probably still don't trust me because I was such an ornery teenager. And when I say ornery teenager, it was, you know, by the church's standards, I was ornery, probably not by the world's. Mm-hmm. But, you know, oh, my word, that kid's horrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he ever tried to date my daughter, I'd have killed him.
Yeah.
You know, one of those things. But you know what? I have a great group of friends around me, and guys that keep me very accountable. And I think that's important, Terry, too. That we have people in our lives that will call us up short if we need to. We'll point out that whoa, buddy, you're going down the wrong road with this one, or hey, did you realize you're doing this? You know, those kind of friends are so important. And those have to be friends that can do that without you getting angry when they do it or thinking they're judging you, because they care enough about you, they're going to say, you know what, bud, you're scaring me here. You see what I mean? And I got a great group of guys around me. You know, it's kind of odd that most of the guys that are in my inner circle, as I guess is one way to put it, are guys that probably had pretty wild youth too. And they just were so overwhelmed by the change in their life when God got a hold of it and Christ entered their life that they've just been on fire about that. And they saw the stark difference between living like a teenager of the 60s, 70s, or 80s and doing what the world does to what God, how God changes your heart and what he does and how it's made such an impact on their lives. And I've kind of surrounded myself unintentionally with a lot of people like that and I've got other friends that you know certainly have led a quieter life, and some of them are probably still pretty rowdy, but the point being that it's nice when people can say, you know what, but for the grace of God, there go I. You know what I mean? I've always said this. You know, I firmly believe that everyone is literally one step away from the gutter. Now, someone's going to hear that and go, oh, no, not me, never. Right. No, yes, you are. Because all you got to do, you know, you keep your eyes on Jesus, you walk straight ahead. If you go lateral one way or the other, you're either in the grass or the gutter. And the problem is, you know, any time that you walk away from God, whether people see it, whether people recognize it or not, whether it's in private, you're still stepping away from God and he sees it. So you're just as much in the gutter as somebody that's living in the gutter. And that's the whole point. You know, God says, you know, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So when you get to that point where it's easy to go off into the gutter, you turn to the Lord and you get that rest there, and you get rebuilt and recharged and keep going again. And when people will doubt you or slander you, you do the same thing. I've often told people, and it's something I use a lot, you know, when I'm counseling people that are going through difficulties or maybe have been slandered or put in a bad situation. It comes up a lot of times in family relations that people will get misinformation and judge people based on something a family member said or things that are said about them that may not be true. And I always tell people, you know, that one thing great about truth is truth has this amazing ability to be buoyant. It always comes to the surface. It may take a while. The truth will, it's like cream, it'll always rise to the top. And people will see the truth. Now, whether they accept the truth or not, that's on them. But the truth will always come up. I don't worry about people that are derogatory about me when it's not validated. In other words, if someone's going to be derogatory about something I'm doing, and I, through looking inside myself, can say there may be some merit to what they're saying, now I've got to work on this thing. You see what I mean? But if it's something that's just out of left field, that is there for a bad reason, a vindictive reason, they're using it, you know, I give that to the Lord and let him deal with it, because I can't and I don't have time for it. And you know, like I said, the truth will come to the top, and you know, God will take care of it. And that's the best way to handle that. You know, don't get caught up in other people's tongue. In other words, don't let their tongue affect you. It's going to get put back in their mouth at some point. You know, don't worry about it. It's going to be there. And a lot of times when you over defend yourself, it even makes it worse, because then it gives them more reason to keep right on going. So sometimes you're better off just saying, you know, Lord, this one's kind of out of my league. Can you think you can handle this for me? I've got your work to do over here. And that's the whole purpose for it. I mean, for the tongue. That's why Satan uses the tongue, to get people off track, to make people stumble, to make people, you know, not do what they're supposed to be doing every day, because they're caught up in this horrible scandal over here. One thing that's usually pretty easy to do when people will start a scandalous conversation is to just get quiet. Don't say anything. Don't say, I really don't want to hear that, or something like that. Just get quiet, because usually they'll get the message that, you know, you're not coming back with saying, really, or you want, you know, and they'll say, they don't really want to hear it. They'll get quiet. I think that it's the attention that slander gets that makes it feed and grow. If it didn't get attention, it doesn't feed and grow. And that's why I wish that our news media would not even give these people air. I really believe a lot of times in some of the violent acts that take place with young people, that in the shootings and those kind of like school shootings, if they were not going to get any press whatsoever and no one's going to ever hear that they did it, I bet a lot of them wouldn't do it, because they want that 5 minutes of fame. They've already graduated to the 999.9 level on their video games. There's only one level left, and everyone's going to know about it, and it's going to be that big act that they do. Well, if that isn't going to happen, they might as well stay within the game. I really do believe, too, that I firmly believe, if people say don't blame video games, no, I don't blame it completely, but boy, does it have a hand in it. They are so realistic. They're realistic to the point that it seems real, but they're not realistic to the point that they make people get calloused of death, and death is real, and they begin to think death really isn't even real, you know? It's like the comment, you know, I can't wait to see the look on their face when I kill myself. Hello? You're not going to see the look on their face. Yeah. One of those cowardly acts in the world. One of those cowardly acts. Destroys families. Destroys people's kids. They never get over it. Never get over it. You know, to me, if you firmly believe in God, you know, why people go through things that get them to the point of wanting to do that is difficult. But I firmly believe that God gives you a way out. It may take time. You know, you may have to get to the point that you put yourself in a hospital and say, hey, take care of me, I'm suicidal. But you'll get through it. And, you know, that's never... But, you know, I think the tongue has a great deal to do with that, things people say and do. And the tongue's not reality. You know what I mean? When people slander you, it just isn't reality. I wish young people could understand that more. You know, it's really weird. They don't... Kids want to be different in a lot of ways. Dress different, act odd, you know, just because, hey, I'm going to be marched to the beat of a different drum. Well, but how about marching to the beat of a good drum? That's different, too. You know, how about following Christ? How about coming to church? You know, people are going to look at it and say, you're the one of those weird church. Yeah, that's me. That's me. I confess. You know, I'll see you in 40 years if you're still around. But I will be, you know, that kind of a thing. I don't mean that in a flippant way, but you know what I mean. I think that we just have to be more confident in who we are as people. You got any final thoughts, Terry, and I'll wrap it up.
No, I think you pretty much covered everything. But all I was going to say, just to touch on that last part you said there, what's so wrong with marching to that drum? I mean, you know, what...
You mean as far as a kid going to church?
Yeah, I mean, what's so wrong with that? I mean,
well, partly because...
I mean, I know your friends don't, but I mean, what's... Okay, so you're going, you know, I mean...
There's nothing wrong with
it. They should be proud of you and supporting you, you know, instead of...
Well, you have to remember, too, that Christians themselves, in the last decade especially, have been viewed as being uneducated, not very smart, which is the complete opposite of the truth, obviously. I think anyone that any Christian that truly is educated can go toe-to-toe with anything I don't want on any issue they want to because, you know, God's way is truth. I think that people are afraid sometimes of God controlling their lives. They want to be in control of their life, and they don't want to even touch or go near somebody that's into that. I think churches get a bad rap a lot of times because of a few. You know, they get tarred with the same brush as everyone else. You know, they're you know, the church, and I'll say this, I'm getting ready to get off the air, but the church is the bride of Christ. It is a body of believers that follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and believe that he came to this earth, grew as a man, died on a cross to shed his pure and holy blood for their sin because no other sacrifice was good enough. He paid for all the sin of the world. He died and rose again on the third day. That is what a Christian is. And anything aside from that is not really a Christian, Terry. We call all kinds of things Christian. But that's what makes us up, not denominations, not Lutheran, Baptist, Catholic. You know, what makes us, if we believe those things, and that, then we are a Christian. If we're something else, we're not. So that's another thing. A lot of people are afraid to come out and say they're a Christian because they're afraid of that type of slander. But don't be afraid of it. Be proud of the fact. Stand up for the Lord. He says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, so don't deny him. Give us a call, 740-494-2222, Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Love to talk to you. God bless you guys. Have a good day.
The place is WWGH 107.1 FM.